the stars. I formed your heart with my own hands. You're the image of my created love. So hear my voice now where you are. Be still and know you will never be alone. I am with you always. For this you are. I place my crease within your heart. I love you more than you could know. You are meant to be. You are part of me. I will not leave you on your own. Still and know you will never be alone. I am with you always. Be still and know you will never be alone.
Shannon Nolan, you can find him on iTunes, and I just thought it's a great song to start out the show with what we're talking about, and that's the character of God and how he relates to us.
If you would like to help spread the word about my show, no matter where you live in the world, you can go ahead and visit my website and visit my corner store, and you can go ahead and purchase a bumper sticker now and put that on the back of your card. It comes off super clean, and that will help get the word out about the program. So if you're interested in helping me spread the word, then maybe you could stop on by my website and purchase a bumper sticker. I would really appreciate it. Well, we've been kind of looking at characters and aspects of God, and we looked a lot about at the family to describe how much God loves us, or so God could reveal his love to us through family. But I'd like to look at Judges chapter 13 and talk about Samson. And I've always found this story fascinating, and some of you may not be familiar with Samson, so I'm going to try and read it for you. But you know what I've always thought since I was a little kid? That the Greeks got the story of Hercules from Samson. It would make sense for them to think that Hercules, a demagogue, and took that from the biblical story of Samson, because his strength was just incredible. No human being could possess that strength except that of a God. So I've always thought that, and I don't know if that is true or not, but I think it is, because people always take things of God and twist them and stuff, so I think it could be true. And Samson's older by now, and one day when Samson was in Timnah, one of the Philistine women caught his eye. And when he returned home, he told his father and mother, "A young Philistine woman in Timnah caught my eye. I want to marry her. Get her for me." His father and mother objected. "Isn't there any one woman in our tribe among all the Israelites that you can marry?" They asked, "Why must you go to a pagan Philistine to find a wife?" Now, here's the great dynamic of a parent. They're looking out for their son. And remember that mentality I was telling you about how children always think they know better than their parents? Well, in this case, God was involved here, but they didn't know that. And they were doing what they thought was best because God wanted them to stay separate, to stay clean, and not intermarry. So they were trying to look out, but Samson was going against the grain. And Samson told his father, "Get her for me. She looks good to me." And his father and mother didn't realize the Lord was at work in this, creating an opportunity to work against the Philistines who ruled over them at the time. So God was trying to deliver his people from the captivity of the Philistines. And here's a character flaw, if you want to call that, for Samson. We can see how this desire and this lust that he has in going after things that weren't of God brought about his ultimate destruction. So you're going to see that time and time and time again. He was set apart to do great things for God, but like we said before, God's patient with us, and we also have consequences. God will let us make our own mistakes. And but here's what I was also talking about a couple weeks ago, that God's presence does not overwhelm a person's will. God can still use a person of faith in spite of his or her mistakes. So God never supersedes your will. He just doesn't do that. That's not in his character. Can he? Sure he can. Does he? No. This is one way God demonstrates he loves us, that he allows us to make choices, whether he likes them or not. Does he have control? Sure he does. But is he the type of God that controls everything at any moment, all the time? Everything's in his control, but he doesn't necessarily control. He's not a micromanager, in other words. As Samson and his parents were going to Timnah, a young lion suddenly attacked Samson near the vineyards of Timnah. And at that moment, the spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him. And he ripped the lion's jaws apart with his bare hands. And he did it as easily as if it were a young goat. But he didn't tell his father and mother about it. And when Samson arrived in Timnah, he talked with a young woman and was very pleased with her. And we're kind of looking at the way God loves us and the way God sees us and the way God uses us, even when we fail, when we fail him. So let's continue with the story. He returned to the wedding and he turned off the path to look at the carcass that he killed of the lion. And he found that a swarm of bees had made some honey in the carcass. And he swooped up some of the honey into his hands and ate it along the way. He also gave some to his father and mother and they ate it. But he didn't tell them he had taken the honey from the carcass of the lion. As his father was making final arrangements for the marriage, Samson threw a party at Timnah, which was custom for elite young men, which is still custom over in the Middle East to this day. When the bride's parents saw him, and they selected 30 young men from the town to be his companions, Samson said to them, "Let me tell you a riddle. If you solve my riddle during these 7 days of the celebration, I will give you 30 fine linen robes and 30 sets of festive clothing. But if you can't solve it, then you must give me the 30 fine linens and clothes." And they all agreed and they said, "Okay, let's hear your riddle." So he said, "Out of one who eats came something to eat. Out of the strong came something sweet." 3 days later, they were still trying to figure it out, and on the fourth day, they said to Samson's wife, "Entice your husband to explain to us the riddle, or we will burn your father's house with you in it. Did you invite us to this party just to humiliate us or to make us poor?" So they're threatening her life because of this riddle. And Samson's wife came to him in tears and said, "Don't you love me? You must hate me. You've given my people a riddle, but you haven't told me the answer. I haven't even given the answer to my father and mother, he replied. Why should I tell you? So she cried whenever she was with him and kept it out for the rest of the celebration. Now, that's kind of pitiful on her part in a way, because here it's her wedding time. She's supposed to be celebrating, and all she's doing is moping and crying. Yeah, I know she was threatened, but surely she could rest and assure that her husband would have protected her, but... At last, the seventh day, he told her the answer because she was tormenting him and nagging her. See, women are good at nagging, and eventually we get on the men's nerves so much that he ends up yelling at us or just getting an attitude with us or finally telling us that we get off his back. Women, stop nagging your husbands. We're really good at that. Well, then she explained the riddle to the young man. So before sunset on the seventh day, the men of the town came to Samson with their answer. Now, here's the thing. Samson knew they cheated. This kind of would irritate me as the man. He should have just said, forget it. Don't worry about it. The bet's off. Why was he so stuck on making sure this riddle stayed? He could have just walked up to the guys. Hey, lay off my wife. It's off. Don't worry about it. And just explain what happened. Well, he didn't do that. And he kind of did it at the end when he could have solved this problem ahead of time. He said, what's sweeter than honey? What's stronger than a lion? If you hadn't plowed with my heifer, you wouldn't have solved my riddle. And then the spirit of the Lord came powerfully upon him, and he went down to the town of Ashkelon, killed 30 men, took their belongings, gave their clothing to the men who had solved his riddle. But Samson was furious about what had happened when he went back home to live with his father and mother. So his wife was given in marriage to another man who had been Samson's best friend. Man at the wedding. So Samson lost his wife. Samson got mad. He went home. I mean, nothing really worked out for Samson if he would have just said, forget it. This is the riddle, or not even worried about it. So I just thought that was kind of interesting how your flesh kind of gets involved and, you know, pride steps up and on both sides. There was pride playing on both sides, and pride can be a nasty thing in our lives. Later on, during the wheat harvest, Samson took a young goat as a present to his wife. He still didn't know that he lost his wife, which is weird. How come he went all those months, in my mind, without his wife, right? Well, we're going to pick this up next time. Remember, stop by my website, hook it up, and spread the word about the Amber May Show by buying one of the bumper stickers. They come off super clean, so you won't have to worry about trying to get them off your bumpers. And remember, instead of thinking about number one, just yourself, look out for number two, someone else. Because eventually, number two will look out for you. With you always.